we say Yehar Vayavar's, and the Rambam of Gili Arayis. Gili Arayis is also Yehar Vayavar. How do we know that Gili Arayis is Yehar Vayavar? So here the Gemara Drash is from a Hekesh, because the Torah of Vashas Kiseitzeh puts together the din of Ritzich with the din of Gili Arayis in the same parsha. So the same pasuk. So the Gemara says, this comes to, one of the many things this comes to teach us is just as Ritzich is Yehar Vayavar, so to Gili Arayis is Yehar Vayavar. So those are the three basic halachas of Arizara, Gili Arayis, and Shvichas Dom. There is a big machlokes that we shared in 2 days in Tosfos. When we say that Gili Arayis is Yehar Vayavar, does that refer only to the man, or does that also refer to the woman? What if someone puts a gun to a woman's head and says, either you violate Gili Arayis, I'm going to kill you? So one day in Tosfos, this goes to the Rivam, who says that you would not say Yehar Vayavar on that. Why not? What's the difference? Because the woman is
Karka
Olam. She's not doing an action of Bia. She's being nivola to, but just biologically, she's not physically doing an act of Bia. So therefore, from the woman's vantage point, there wouldn't be a din of Yehar Vayavar. Tosfos brings an interesting riot to this. Tosfos brings a riot for the Rivam. If the whole Mokor for Yehar Vayavar, Begili Arayis, is learned out from Ritzicha. So Tosfos says, what would the din be if a person would be asked to kill B'Shev Al Tase? What would that locha be? If I'm not doing a ma'isa Ritzicha, what would that mean? So Tosfos says like this, let's say a guy comes to you, puts a gun to your head and says, either I'm going to kill you, or you have to let me throw you out the window onto this baby, and by throwing out the window, you're going to fall on the baby and kill the baby. So Tosfos conjures up this crazy scenario, and they call it Ritzicha B'Shev Al Tase. So Tosfos says, what would the din be? So Tosfos says, they don't think that the person is mechuyav to get killed. They're allowed to say, I'm not doing anything. You want to toss me out the window? Toss me out the window. I am going to kill somebody. Shev Al Tase. So comes Tosfos and Chiddush and says that just as by Ritzicha, Tosfos is pretty sure that's the din. There's no Gemara that talks about throwing the person out the window. But just as Tosfos is pretty convinced that would be the din, that if you throw a person out the window, they land on a baby, and kill the baby, that would not be Yehar Vayavar, because that's a Ritzicha without a Ma'aseh Ritzicha. It's a Ritzicha B'Shev Al Tase. So too, the woman's act of Gili Arayis, even though she's Chayav Misa for Gili Arayis, and a woman who's chayav, who does Gili Arayis B'Shev brings the same karma as a man. It's called a Ma'aseh Aveira, but it's a violation of Gili Arayis B'Shev Al Tase. So Tosfos made up a din. They made up a din by Ritzicha, and then they make up a Hekesh. They extended it to the Hekesh to Gili Arayis. So Tosfos, a Chiddush Gadol, the Rivam says, that you don't say Yehar Vayavar when it comes to a woman by Gili Arayis.
Not everyone else.
Other days in Tosfos.
Often you write these cases like in the Holocaust, where like, you know, they tell them to like trample on the Torah, and like they said, oh, you know, kill me first. So is that actually, are you actually allowed to do that?
Well, those are different things. Those are maybe issues of Shas Hashmad and other things. Right. We didn't get that.
Okay, let's say in these regular cases.
In a normal case, and then. Then there's a big machlokes of Rishonim. If it's a regular no shas hashmad or, you know, things of that nature, then there's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Let's say a person wants to volunteer to be killed. So the Rambam says, no, I'll do it. The Rambam says that's suicide. Now I'll do that. Not everyone agrees to the Rambam.
Well, you say like a woman, right? They say or else we'll kill you. Is it usur for her not to do gilei arayim?
That's the same shayla. In a situation where the halacha doesn't require you to be to give up your life, you're permitted to volunteer to do so. That's a shayla. That's a big shayla. Okay.
So you said by Ritzicha B'Shev Al Tase what would be the...
Tosfos claims that Ritzicha B'Shev Al Tase you're not permitted to give up your life. And Tosfos gives you this quite crazy case of the baby. Reb Chaim writes that he thinks the Rambam would disagree with this Tosfos. Reb Chaim, the first Reb Chaim, the first Reb Chaim, the Sedi Atayra, started to sound like my house. My phone's going off and all, and my wife's phone's going off. The two of us, the phone's going off.
So, Ritzicha B'Shev
Al
Tase, would be okay or not?
So Tosfos says that Ritzicha B'Shev Al Tase is not Yehar Vayavar, and therefore Tosfos extrapolated from Dira Gili Arayis B'Shev Al Tase. So Reb Chaim says that he thinks the Rambam would not agree to this. He thinks that the Rambam holds that even for a woman you say Yehar Vayavar, Gili Arayis, but he thinks the Rambam would agree to Tosfos din for a different reason. Because Reb Chaim says that when they tell you that they're going to throw you onto a baby, that's not even Ritzicha. Tosfos called that Ritzicha B'Shev Al Tase. Reb Chaim says that's not called Ritzicha. You're the bullet. You're not the Ritzach is the guy who pulls the trigger, not the bullet. The bullet's not the Ritzach. So they're using you as a bullet, as a human bullet. You're not a gaver, to quote from. You're not a gaver, you're a chefza. You're the chefza that's doing the act of the chefza that's being involved in the act of Ritzicha. Instead of the guy throwing a boulder onto the baby, a rock onto the baby, shooting the baby, he's throwing a person onto the baby, but the person is not the terrorist or Ritzach. So that's why the Chaim thought that the Moshel Tosfos gives is not really a good Moshel. It doesn't teach us anything about anything. Anyway, get back to the story. So again, so
it's
a
good Moshel because it's in the Gavron's.
It's not a, Reb Chaim claimed the mashal is not a good mashal against us. Because the mashal is assuming that the person is a rotzeach, but he's a rotzeach b'shev al ta'aseh. So Reb Chaim says, that's a rotzeach b'chlo. If somebody puts me into a catapult, it catapults me into somebody else. I'm not a rotzeach, I'm a bullet. So again, so these are the three major categories of halacha. Then in addition, the Gemara says that sometimes you're going to have a situation where you have an Aveira which is not necessarily even one of these three Aveiras, but it's in the parsha of these three Aveiras. It smacks a little bit, it smells a little bit of these three Aveiras. That's what the Gemara calls Abizrayu. That it's Abizrayu literally means like the dust. It falls a little bit into the category of Abizrayu, the Rai Shubhastabim. It's also called Yorkliyama. What are some examples possibly of Abizrayu? So one of them is the Gemara at the beginning of the second Berakh of Psachim. The Gemara says that if a person is a chodesh yesh b'sakona, if their life is in danger, they're allowed to basically take any medicine. Whatever the doctor says, they're allowed to do. So the doctor says they have to eat chazer, they have to eat pas b'chol. So no choices. Chnefesh. The Gemara says, "Bekomis rapin chutz mi'atzi asheira." You're not allowed to use for medicinal purposes wood from an asheira tree. Why is that? Because it's yarvel yavor. So what exactly does that mean? Not using wood from an asheira tree. What do the words mean? How are you going to use wood to make yourself get better? So there's a big machlekes of Yishayim. The Taisa says, "Psachim, what do you mean? You're going to light a fire? So why is that called Avodah Zarah? That's not called worshiping Avodah Zarah. That's called being nedah by Avodah Zarah. Benefiting from Avodah Zarah is also there's an issa d'oraisa to benefit from Avodah Zarah. How do you know that? Who's it say in the Chumash? Not allowed to benefit from Avodah Zarah. It says in two places. One in the last week's parsha, one in this week's parsha. It says, "Lo savi soeva beisecha veisachem kamel." Right? You're not allowed to even bring the Avodah Zarah into your house. That's one mokar. Then another pasuk is in this expression. It says it's a mitzvah strafus of a desire. What does it say? You're not allowed to benefit. It says, "Well, yidbak yad chamuma min acherim." You're not allowed to use anything from the Yoni Dachas. So the Yoni Dachas is a super duper of a desire. Everything was nitpasad in the shame of a desire. So anything that was ever worshipped for a desire also was included in that issue of yidbak yad chamuma. That's what Moses says in Psachim. So again, so if a person is nana from a verizara, they're not have visa for that. That's not mamash of a verizara. That's an Israel. No, you're not allowed to be nana from Bas Mecholov. So Tosi says to Kasha, what does the Gemara say? You're not allowed to be nana from a verizara, the Mokha Bikuch Nefesh. The Chari that did a Bikuch Nefesh should be Neichel Yisrael from the Yidro Piyah. Tosi says to Kasha,
could you apply this concept that something that's like a verizara is also the Arab Yali Avar to the Strain Daniel?
That's a big machlokes. Okay, so that's a question about what was going on up there. But bowing down to the tzelem, we'll get there. We'll get there. So the Gemara says beferish that you're not allowed to save your life using the atzi asherah. So Taisus says, what's the problem? It's just being nana. That's not a vadezara. A vadezara, which is your avodah yavah, means you're not allowed to bow down. You're not allowed to worship the vadezara. And you're not worshiping, you're burning it as firewood. So Tais says, we got the wrong shot. Tais says, what the Gemara means is like this, that there's some kind of a voodoo, a witchcraft, a cure that involves using wood of a Vedazar for something. So,
what?
Witchcraft? I didn't. You know, it's some kind of a mystical cure. So you go to the priest of the Vedazar, and he does some hocus pocus with you, and that's what you're not allowed to do. So Tais says, what's wrong with that? Well, that's not worshiping of a Zara. Worshiping of a Zara means if your mamash believe in him. Here, the guy doesn't bow down to the Zara. He's Nebuchadnezzar, he's dying. So he goes for some kind of crazy alternative treatment. So people do all kind of alternative treatment with Banazer. So the guy goes to some voodoo doctor in the middle of Africa, and he tells him, take this piece of wood and hold the spoon in such a way, and you'll get all cured. The guy thinks it's a big joke, but he does it anyway. So comes to him and says, that's Yerubel Yavim. Why is that Yerubel Yavim? So he says, because there's a chance it may work. Sometimes these crazy things sometimes work. Sometimes they have, they don't really work. Sometimes they have placebo effects. You know, so we have a lot of these crazy things that sometimes work. So Taisus says, aha, once the guy realizes it works, what's going to happen? Then he's going to stop to believe in a Vedazar. Then he's going to stop worshiping a Vedazar. So Taisus says, that's called up his Raya of a Vedazar. The fact that what you are doing right now is not really Asar, but is going to lead you possibly to become a Vedazar, that's your Vedazar. That's quite a chiddush. That's a tremendous chiddush. Taisa says that the act you're doing now is not an act of a Vedazara, but it's al shame of a Vedazara. It's pretentious, like a siyam of a Vedazara. So that's your Yerubel Yavam.
So the. How can we say that a Vedazara is going to work?
What?
How can we say a Vedazara is
The pasuk in Chumash, the pasuk says it's going to work. The pasuk in this week's parsha says sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives kochos to the Avodah Zarah to work. Ki menasa shem lokechem eschem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is testing you. But the Gemara says sometimes the Novi Shech will come and give you a whole sign and tell you to worship Avodah Zarah. Kadosh Baruch Hu will make this sign happen to see. Hayishchem avim is shem lokechem. Ki menasa shem lokechem eschem. So the Chiddush Yeran and that Gemara in the Sefer Berachot Pesachim says that's not the Pshat. Sometimes the Pshat is too complicated. Says the Chiddush Yeran, being nene from a Venezara, even though you're not going to have Nisa for it, is also Yehar Bal Yavar. You know why? Says the Ran, Yehar Bal Yavar doesn't just mean the Avera itself is Yehar Bal Yavar. Anything that smacks of the Avera, anything that's in the parsha of that Avera, even lower level degrees of that Avera, also Yehar Bal Yavar.
So you'd say having enough from a Venezara would be
is Yehar Bal Yavar. Not because you're going to believe in it. I'm going to believe in it. It's not, let's say it's cold in the house. I take a Vanazara wood and I make a fire out of it, says the Ran, it's Yehar Bal Yavar. Even if a guy's going to die from the cold, it's Yehar Bal Yavar. So that machlokes Tyson the Ran. Everybody agrees there's some kind of a din here of Avizrayah or Vanazara. Everyone agrees that Gemara tells you as a Chiddush that you're not allowed to use the Vanazara even though you're not actually worshipping it, even at the expense of your life. The question is, what's the Chiddush of the Gemara? Is the Chiddush of the Gemara because you're going to become to do Avodah Zarah itself, or is the Chiddush of the Gemara that's called an Aveir of Avodah Zarah? So the Chiddush, this same Machlokes repeats itself in a famous Gemara of the Sanhedrin about Gilui Arayos. The Gemara tells a story in Sanhedrin. There was once a person who was very sick, and he was deathly ill. Went to the doctors. The doctor said, Mishagas. The doctor said, the only way to this guy to calm down, he has a tremendous taiva, and this taiva overcame him, and the only way to cure him is to let him be mezada with this woman. So the Chum said, Mishagas says, not forget it. We're not gonna let him be mezada with her. So then the doctor said, all right, even if he's not mamish mezada, if he does other things that are inappropriate with her, maybe that'll also be good enough. And the Chazal say, no, not even allowed to do that. Nothing, zero. Let him die rather than do that. So the Gemara has a machlok, is how to understand that story. So one Amora says, the pshat in that story was, the woman was an Eishes Ish. So she was an Eishes Ish, she was mamish Gilui Arayos, so she's going to be matar Gilui Arayos for the guy. Tough luck. So the Gemara is saying, a chiddush, that she was an Eishes Ish. So therefore, not only is Gilui Arayos mamish Yehar Bal Yavar, but even other types of physical contact and other types of inappropriate activity are also Yehar Bal Yavar. The Gemara says, that's if she was an Eishes Ish. I think Gemara quotes another version. She wasn't even an Eishes Ish. She was a familiar. She was a single girl. So why weren't they just mouthing them to be together? So the Gemara says, Shlo Yubanes, Sra Perutus Merayas. If the Chum are going to be mouthed such a thing, everyone's going to get the same disease. Everyone's going to come down with the same Mishigas. So it's going to lead to tremendous periods and Gilui Arayos. So therefore, Chazal put the foot down. They said, we're going to make the guy die, even though a Mikra did. He could really, he's allowed to be with this girl. She's a Penui anyway. But Zahra Shah, they made a special takana that the couple are not permitted to be together. But it's clear from the Gemara, it's clear as day from the Gemara, that if she was an Eishes Ish, we don't know what the story was. Machlek is what the version of the story was. But Alatzad, she was an Eishes Ish, then we understand quite well why they passed Yehar Bal Yavar. Because that was the din. Because Yehar Bal Yavar applies not only to the Bia itself, not only to Gilui Arayos Mamish, it applies even to Chibuk Benishuk, another physical, we call it colloquially Nagia, Shomer Nagia, which is not a halachic term. But all kind of other inappropriate activities are also Yehar Bal Yavar. So it's clear from the Gemara, Mashplak, one of the Gemara, that all kind of physical contact, which are violations of Chibuk Benishuk, are included in Yehar Bal Yavar. How do we understand Pshat of this? Why should this be so? So, L'chara, depending on either version of Abizrayu, either one makes sense here. If you hold that Abizrayu means, like Taisa said, whenever you do a Aver X that's going to lead potentially to a Aver Y, that's called Abizrayu. So to over here, Chibuk Nishuk and other kinds of activities usually lead to Gilui Arayos Mamish. So therefore, that's called Abizrayu Gilui Arayos, and therefore it's also Yehar Bal Yavar. According to the other understanding, that according to the Chiddush Yeran, that it's called Abizrayu of Gilui Arayos, because it's included in the parsha. Anything that smacks of Gilui Arayos, anything that's in the parsha, just as the Ran said, that the isser of being nenem Avodah Zarah is called an isser of Avodah Zarah. It's chal on the shame of Avodah Zarah, so it's also Yehar Bal Yavar. So who dinami? It's chal on the din of Chibuk Benishuk, an isser of Gilui Arayos. So no matter how you slice it, the Gemara is beferish that the din is that Chibuk Benishuk, physical types of contact, is Yehar Bal Yavar. The Shach just points out in the Chos Nida that that's only true if it's derechiba. If it's not derechiba, then the Shach says it's not going to be Yehar Bal Yavar. We didn't say that. It's a good idea, but it's not going to be Yehar Bal Yavar. But any kind of physical contact, holding hands, in a, any kind of a romantic way whatsoever, any hugging, kissing, anything like that, is clear of the in the Gemara, and that's considered to be a Hergal Yavar. There is another application, potentially, of Hergal Yavar, also an issue about Mizrayim. That's a famous comment from Rabbeinu Yonah. There's a Gemara Maseches Ksubis that says that it's better for a person to be thrown into a Kivshan Ha'esh, be thrown into a furnace, rather than embarrass somebody publicly. The Gemara derives from a story about Yehuda and Tamar. The Gemara says that Tamar refused to identify who Yehuda was because she knew that by identifying who Yehuda was, that would cause a tremendous bizarre to him. So even though she was afraid she was going to get killed, they were about to kill her, so she still wouldn't publicly identify him. So the Gemara says, you derive from here, that mutav li'adam she'ablatz l'kishal eish o'yab b'nechav e'barab. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Sefer Shari Tshuva, Sefer Shari Tshuva is basically the Muslim Sefer, but every once in a while he quotes halachas also. So in Sefer Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah writes that the Gemara means it literally. The Gemara means that you're not allowed to embarrass somebody publicly, even if it means taking your life. Why is that? Because the Gemara says that embarrassing somebody publicly is like killing him. It's kilu, it's killing him. So Zavtra Rabbeinu Yonah, it's like Am Yisrael Shechus Damu. Just as there's a din of Abizrayim of a desert, there's a din of Abizrayim of Gilirayas, there's a din of Abizrayim of Shuchas Dam as well. And the Gemara means it mamash literally. So should we accept this Rabbeinu Yonah? What do you think this Rabbeinu Yonah depends upon? Is that really a good analysis? Is that a good equation? That mamash is the halach equivalent of Shuchas Dam? So the chavar depends. If you hold that Abizrayim means, if you do X, it's going to lead to Y. It's hard to believe to say that every... person who's ma'am b'nechaveh b'rabim always ends up to be a ratzeh. That's a big jump from embarrassing somebody to pulling a trigger on somebody. Now when it comes to Avodah Zarah, so if a person goes and gets this cure and now he's going to start to believe in this kooky Avodah Zarah, so that makes sense. Well, the person who violates Chibuk V'nishuk is going to be led to take either eyes, that makes sense. To say that a guy who does, he embarrasses somebody in Purim Shpil, so he's going to become tomorrow he's going to go kill the person, that's not so likely. So if you define Abizrayu as a gezeira type of a thing, don't do X, it's going to lead to Y, so we would probably have to disagree with Rabbeinu. But if you hold that Abizrayu doesn't mean that, Abizrayu means that it's in the parsha. It smacks of that Aveira. It has certain relevance to that Aveira. So then one could argue that just as Avodah Zarah has subcategories to it, just as Gilui Arayos has subcategories, Shrikus Dam has subcategories as well. So it could be that's the pshat of Rabbeinu. He said, if you hold that Abizrayu means whatever Abizrayu, whatever is the dust, the ashes of the other era. Okay?
You can't say that, that you embarrassing them might make them kill you.
I'm not sure about that. Are there any other Aveiras that are potentially hurt by Yavar? Okay, before we get to the Yimshat Hashemah, before we get to the unique situations, just the Aveira itself, is there any Aveira proper that maybe you're familiar with? Chol Shabbos, of course, that the Farish is not.
No,
like it was supposed to be, but that's not happening. What about the story, the Chashmonaim story?
Similar to
Avodah Zarah. The Chal Shabbos is like Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Maisa's not. So there is a big Machlekes Acharonim about the following, which may very well be Machlekes Harishonim. The Gemara Rav Kama has a discussion whether it's Mutal Lahatzal Atzma B'mamu Chaveroi. Am I allowed to save my life at the expense of taking your property? So let's say you have something, you have a kind of medication that I need, and you don't want to give it to me. Am I allowed to go steal it from you? I need this medication. If I don't get the medication, he may die. So would you say that just as Pikuch Nefesh is mat to be to drive to the hospital on Shabbos, Pikuch Nefesh is mat to be Yidin Yom Kippur, Pikuch Nefesh is mat to be to do Geneva as well? So the Gemara is machlokes about that, whether Mutu Lahatz La'atzav Mamechaveirai or also Lahatz La'atzav Mamechaveirai. So Tosfos in that Gemara, in the, anyone know that Gemara from? Anyone know what that Gemara is? Sixth Perek Bava Kamma. So Tosfos says in the end of the sixth Perek Bava Kamma, it is impossible to understand that Gemara Kipshuto. That the Gemara means that there's an opinion that says, Asa lahatz la'atz mamachaveh. You're allowed to mechal Shabbos to save your life. You're allowed to eat chametz and Pesach. You're allowed to eat Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to violate Geneva. So the Hecha takes that Geneva is more chomer. You're not minimizing Geneva, but it's not chal Shabbos. So Taisa says you have to reinterpret the Gemara. Taisa says what the Gemara means is like this: that everyone agrees you're allowed to steal medicine. There's no question you're allowed to. Well, let's say you're allowed to be mazik somebody. You're allowed to destroy his property. You can't eat medicine. The question is whether you have to pay for it or not. Because one opinion said that since you're allowed to do it, so the Torah is not mechayev you to pay teshlum for it. And the other day it says no, you're allowed to do it, but then you got to pay for it. So when they use the Gemara uses the phrase also lahat lasnom mechaveray. So the Gemara raises the shot. Let's say you have you're fighting against somebody, and the only way to protect yourself is to burn down this area. It's going to destroy someone's property in the process of burning it down. So the Gemara says, if you hold it also lahat latzav mechaveray, so you're not allowed to do it. So Taisa says, of course you're allowed to do it. I'm allowed to burn down his property. I'm allowed to drive to the hospital shop. I can't burn down a guy's property. So Taisa would have to pay him as a mazik. That's all it means. So according to Taisa, as well. But Rashi seems to disagree. Rashi seems to hold that the reason why Geneva and Nazik are different is because they've been on the Chaver. Mr. Rav Hashem is Meichel on his Chil Shav. It's Meichel on his Chametz of Pesach. His Gideon and Yom Kippur. But when it comes to somebody else's, so then the din is I'm not allowed to cause somebody else a Nezik or a Geneva, even if the expense of my own life. So the Chiddush goes with Rashi.
What's Rashi?
Rashi seems to say that.
That there would be.
So when the Gemara says "Asla hatz latzav mechaver," it means it literally "aser." Is your mamash not allowed?
And then why would gazelle be different?
Because it's been on mechaver.
So.
Okay.
So every bein adam mechaver was derech b'alei avar.
According to this Rashi, it would be pretty amazing, right?
Well, what's
the Gemara saying? Excellent, very good, very good. So why does the Gemara sing about Shrikas Dam? Shrikas Dam has also been on the Chavera, right? Because Rashi's not been on the Chavera. It involves another person, it's not been on the Chavera. The men and the women agree that's not been on the Chavera. So the Teretz says that Ritzicha has not always been on the Chavera. Sometimes you can have a situation where Ritzicha has been on the Makom. Let's say a person asks you to kill them. Right? He's Meichelon. He asks you suicide. Physician assisted suicide, he asked you to kill you. Right? So that's not Ben Amal Chavir. That's Ben Amal Makom. You're not allowed to do it. Because the Kiddush Baruch Hu said you're not allowed to do it. Right? So that's the Kiddush of Shrikas Dam. Shrikas Dam, even a situation where your Shrikas Dam is not per se in a Ben Amal Chavir, but it's still in a Ben Amal Makom, even that's your Avayam.
Can't you then say every
Ben Amal
Chavir is in a Ben Amal Makom?
No, but every Ben Amal Chavir is Ben Amal Makom, but not every Ben Amal Makom is Ben Amal Chavir. So comes the Acharonim have a major machlokes based on this Rashi and Tosis. Came along the day of Yehuda with a following important shaila, very, very real shaila. It was an important shaila then, it's still an important shaila now. But Yehuda was asked the following shaila, Maisa. Are you permitted to do an autopsy to save somebody's life? Let's say you have a person just died from a very strange illness, and the doctors say, we think that if we dissect apart the person's body and we study the illness, we'll be able to save somebody else. So are you permitted to do that or not? Now, normally, obviously, doing an autopsy involves many, many serious yisurim in the Torah. There's a bit of bits of kvura, and there's yisurim nivel ameis, and losal of losal ameis. A lot of yisurim involved in doing autopsies. But the Rav Yehuda was asked, Shaila, are you allowed to do an autopsy if it's the tzorech ha-pikuach nefesh? What's the din?
I think if it's the person that's
going to
be nowadays, everyone is
considered. So that was a famous school of the Rav Yehuda. Drew a distinction between whether it's a chol or a faneinu or not. So says the Rav Yehuda, sometimes doctors want to do autopsies not because they're going to mamash save somebody's life immediately. Sometimes they'll do an autopsy because it'll give them some information. And 20 years from now, they'll do more studies and more research. And eventually, they may be right. Eventually, they may talk to save somebody's life. Says the Rav Yehuda, that's not called pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh means there's a chol faneinu, somebody who's sick in front of us. You have two people dying in the same, two people in the hospital room. One just died from this condition. The other one has the condition. Maybe we can learn something about the condition to save his life. That's called chelef aneinu. Otherwise, they end up safe. Says the Rebbe, you can do everything. We're allowed to keep our labs open in shops. Why? We're going to do our lab research. Because maybe in 20 years from now, we'll find out something that's going to help somebody down the line. So that's a joke, says the Rebbe. That's not people with nefesh. So says the Rebbe, so you would really be honest to goodness, the real McCoy, pikuach nefesh, maybe it would be chelef aneinu. That it was not going to be mutter to do.
Even if it's faneinu, isn't there a suffix whether or not you're actually going to end up saving God?
Right, it doesn't matter. Suffix for growing nefesh is also. Let's say a guy's dying from a heart attack, and we may not even get to the hospital in time. You know, so one, 1,000 shit, you still let it. You're mechuyev to kuvah nefesh even suffering is nefesh
shabbos. Isn't it nowadays with?
Right, so that's what some later folks can want to suggest. That b'zman hazeh, the Yehuda's definition of chol lefaneinu has shrunk significantly, because everything is b'faneinu. You have a chayil in Australia, so they'll find out some information. We'll save a guy in California. But even b'zman hazeh, have to be careful with this point of view, because very often there are autopsies that are done which are mamish not l'tzarich b'chlal. They're not done for any real pikuach nefesh. They're done, you know, for research. They're done for long-term research type of things. It's not that there's a chayla, you know, in California they're waiting to save. It's not the job. We had, unfortunately, we had a case not that long ago where a person died, and it was a strange situation. He had a certain illness that was very, very rare, and they wanted to, the doctors were pushing to an autopsy. So they, I was one of the rabbanim who ended up being consulted at the time what to do. So I called some experts who I spoke to in this field, and I asked them, bottom line, what information are they going to learn from this autopsy? So the doctor said to me, the doctor who consulted with one of his experts, so he said to me, what's going to happen from this autopsy is that some guy is going to write a research paper that's going to sit in some medical journal for the next 100 years, and absolutely nothing is going to happen from it. He said that they're not going to find anything new. Whatever they know about this disease, they know. And whatever they're going to find out, nothing's going to change. And one autopsy is not going to make the slightest difference in the world. But, you know, the doctors, meanwhile, will tell you it's very important to do an autopsy. So you have to be careful. Khalil al-Khalil, even in such a situation, you have to be very, very careful to find out from the proper people in the medical profession and the proper rabbanim when autopsies are warranted and when they're not. Anyway, comes the Binyan Tzion. Anyone know what the Binyan Tzion was? He was a pesach, yeah. Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, you know Rav Yaakov Ettlinger was? He had a very, very famous Talmud. He was famous also. He had a very different part of the world. Rav Shimon Shmuel Hirsch was his Talmud. Rav Yaakov Ettlinger was the pesach in Germany before the period of the early 1800s. Hashem is not for Jews. So Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, it's Binyan Tzion. The reason why it's called Binyan Tzion is because the first tshuva was written to him about rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash. You say that. There was a rav in Europe. As I was there, was a Tzvi Kalischer. A Tzvi Kalischer had this grandiose plan that we're going to buy back the Beis Hamikdash. We're going to buy back the Machon Mikdash from the Turks, and we're going to build the Beis Hamikdash. A few technical difficulties. The Turks weren't interested in selling, but whatever. Besides that, he had a grandiose plan. So he went around to all the rabbanim in Europe to ask their opinions about this plan. So he sent shaylos to the Binyan Tzion and to Rabbi Kibbeger and to some Seif and others. So the Binyan Tzion's first tshuva in a Seif was about this topic. Therefore, we named the whole sefer Binyan Tzion, even though all the other tshuvas nothing to do with that. So, in the tshuvas Binyan Tzion, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger writes, there are Ettlingers today. Anyone here from Heinz? No one here from Russian Heinz? So, my there's a teacher in Broyers where kids go to school, whose name is Mrs. Ettlinger. She's her husband is a Ben Chaben for Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. All right, so Rav Yaakov Ettlinger in his tshuvas Binyan Tzion disagrees with it. He writes that no. He writes that you can't do an autopsy, even if it's to save a guy's life. Even if Mamash is a chayel lefaneinu, you know for a fact it's going to save a guy's life, you still can't do an autopsy. Why? Yehori v'yavor. Why? Because it's an aveir ben am lechaveir. An evil ameis, it's a bizarre ameis. It's a yehori v'yavor. And he says, he quotes the Rashi in the Sefer Baba Kama. Rashi says, osa lahatsa lahatsa am lechaveir, right? And then he says, even Tosfos would agree here. Why? Tosfos only said it when the other person could potentially be meichel. But over here, the guy's dead already. He can't be Michael. So it's an aveir ben am lechaveir. It's not nitan lemechila. It's yehar v'yavol l'chaladeus. So the ma'aseh, most of the later posts do not accept this binyan tzion. But this binyan tzion, this razzle dazzle chiddush, that even that whenever you have an aveir ben am lechaveir, by definition, it's called yehar v'yavol.
Can a live person be mochel on his kavod for after he dies?
But if he says al tikaruni, a guy leaves it, writes in his will, don't bury me. I want to give my body to science. Right?
Or, so or if he wants to save somebody's life, autopsy on me, then bury me.
So that's in effect, what we've done is a little bit more complicated because that involves issues of Ritzich and Mamish potentially. But because they sometimes take certain organs before the person, how often may be dead according to many poskim. But let's say even if it just means to do an autopsy, so the Gemara is all Sukkim Sanhedrin, is the person permitted to be Meichel on the day of Kavura? So if you hold that a person can be Meichel on Kavura, then he can be Meichel on Nivel HaMeis also. Because Nivel HaMeis Pashas is derived from Kfura. The other thing is we pass that you can't be Meichel Kfura. Rambam Paskins, the Kfura is a Diraisa, and Nivel HaMeis is part of it. The Diraisa Kfura, because it cannot be Meichel. So if a person writes in his will to give his body to science, you're not permitted to listen to him. You know, we always have this problem with non-firm people. Very often, yeah, not from a person, we're writing the will, they want to be cremated. And then the person dies, and now there's always like one relative, you know, a third cousin who's from, and then they find out the guy's going to be cremated, they go bananas. So a few times I had this, that relatives, you know, distant relatives call me and say, how can we convince the immediate relatives not to cremate the person? So go talk to a person who's a Michal Shabbos, who never heard of the Torah, doesn't, as an atheist, explain to them why the Torah says you're not allowed to be cremated. The Torah says you have to be buried in the ground. So I remember I once had a conversation with, I always try, so far I've never succeeded any of these times. So once I was trying to convince somebody, the person died, left the will, they wanted to be cremated, and somebody had asked me to get involved in the case to try to convince the daughter, sister, whatever it was, try to convince the person didn't have any children, convince the sibling, the sister, whatever it was, not to have the person cremated. So I was just trying to explain to her that, you know, Jewish ethics and morality, So she says to me, Rabbi, she says, I don't understand. You're telling me ethics and morality. Here the person wrote in their will that they wanted to be cremated. How are you going to explain to me that that's ethically correct not to listen to her? So I said, you know, it's very hard for me to convince you. I said, I can only talk to you from a Jewish law, you know, perspective. I tried to explain if she would have understood what it means to be cremated in Jewish law, if she would have had a better understanding, she'd have. Gets the person said, Rabbi, you know, you're not. It's very hard. I found the experience as a no-win situation, because it's very. How can you explain to somebody such a svara? But lemais in the world of halacha, so a person says al tikbruni. So if there are firm relatives who are in charge, the taka not allowed to listen. A person writes in the will not to be buried. You're not allowed to listen. So a person would write to have an unnecessary autopsy. You wouldn't be permitted to listen to them either. Anyway, so we have the basic categories of Yerba Yavor, the three biggies. Then we have the Apizrayus, then we have possibly the Beram Chaveros. Then there was a few others. Let's say of a Goy, it tries to tell you to do an Aveira, and the purpose of that Goy telling you to do it is to mamash to be Mechal Shem Shemayim. They want to make light, they want to make fun of the Torah. So they tell you in front of 10 Jews, they say, be Mechal Shabbos, not because they're hungry. They tell you, we want you to be Mechal Shabbos in front of 10 Jews, not because I'm hungry, because I want to show you the Torah means nothing. So even if it's not a Shas HaShemad, just a private guy, he's on his own personal crusade, he did his Yerba Yavor. And then the Gemara says a Chiddush, that if you have a Shas HaShemad, so even if it's not an Aveira proper, even if it's some kind of a minig, some kind of a, you know, a Jewish practice, that's also considered to be the Shulais, the Gemara says, many Rishonim, that's also your Yerba Yavor, that when it's a Shas HaShemad. So that explains away why we find many Tanoim, many great people give up their lives. Very often it was a Shas HaShemad. There is a question in the Rishonim, even if you know that a Shas HaShemad is Yerba Yavor, what if they don't tell you to do an Aveir, they tell you just not to do a mitzvah? Don't put on tefillin. So the Ran writes Masech Shabbos, he thinks that's not Yerba Yavor. If they tell you just not to do mitzvah, it's not Yerba Yavor. I think Gemara tells stories that Elisha Bal Kanafai and Rabbi Akiva and Tanoim will give up their life for all these things. So the Ran writes that when you have an Adam Gadol and his giving up his life, even for a mitzvah saseh, there's going to be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. It's going to inspire the tzibur. So then you would be permitted to, maybe even it would be a good idea to give up your life. So some of the situations that we find in the days of the Tanoim, that they gave up their life rather than succumb to the Roman persecution, even though sometimes it only involved mitzvahs, that was very, very unique halacha of Shas HaShemad.
On the flip side, if somebody would be over, let's say, an Avodah Zarah and not be killed, would they be chayav?
No, so the Rambam is this famous Jew, and the Rambam writes that if a person is forced to do Avodah Zarah, even though they did an Aveira, it was the Mechal Shem Shemayim, and they did a terrible Aveira, but you can't punish the guy for it. You can't hold the guy responsible, because unless he didn't want to. So, you know, we have to still be nice to him. The Rambam wrote his famous Igeres HaShemad.
Also, let's say, it's Yar Gavur extended to, let's say, somebody is forcing you to do Avodah Zarah, right? And that person could kill themselves, are they supposed to do that?
Yeah, it's a further shadow. So most of the Rishonim hold, you're not supposed to kill yourself. There was a practice in the Middle Ages, we referred to it in one of the kiddos, where there was some Rishonim who were of the opinion that if you know someone's going to make you become convert to another religion, it's better to kill yourself. So and it's better to kill others also. Let's say there used to be people, Nebuch, in the time of the Middle Ages, where the Crusaders would surround a town, and they would say, either you all become baptized, we're going to kill you all. So the people would actually kill their own children rather than let the goyim enter the town, because they knew that the goyim would take the little children, they would baptize them and raise them as Christians. So they felt that the din of Yerba Yavor includes even to kill somebody else. And many Rishonim, probably most of Rishonim, know that it's not true. The Yerba Yavor, you know, you're not allowed to pick up a knife to kill somebody else. You just If the goy kills you, it kills you. There was a terrible, terrible story that happened in the days of the Middle Ages. It's quoted actually in the Daz Kenya of Balei Atreishis and Chumash and Parshas Noach. It's quoted by Achaz Dimcha and Avshasechem Tidrosh, but the use of suicide. It was a horrible, horrible mice that happened, that there was once goyim surrounded a town, and they threatened that they're going to kill everybody if they don't all come out and be baptized. And the Jews started to kill the children in the town, and then they were all going to start to kill themselves. And then in the middle, the goyim all got drunk and all left, and they never bothered taking the town. And there were children who had been killed because of that. So most of the Balei Taisus held that was a terrible psach. And they said if the person who gave that psach is going to be, is going to be punished. Because it was a terrible, terrible psach that ended up causing Nebuch the murder of Jewish children. But again, there was some shadow who held that way. Just to give you an idea of the pressure, you know, the life, the type of tzaras, the yisur that the Chayasel suffered from. You know, Baruch Hashem, Blue and I would live a very, very easy, relatively easy life. So just put things into proper perspective. It's not okay, Royce, we can talk on the way to Meyer, but it's not.